Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. This is Kelly Barner, Managing Director of Buyers Meeting Point and the Director of Intelligence for Pollenbridge. Today, I'm welcoming back Mark Biljan as my guest. Mark is a career negotiator and the author of Mastering High Stakes Negotiations, and he's been joining BMP Radio for a regular podcast series on all things negotiation. So welcome, Mark, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, Kelly, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you again.
Now, in our last session, we spoke about the importance of trust and respect in negotiation. But today, I'd actually like to take a different approach. So I recently attended a webinar about North Korea and what supply chain managers need to know. Now, these aren't necessarily two topics that you would automatically associate, but being part of global supply chains, we do need to be aware of some of these implications. Now, I'm not going to ask you to actually solve the North Korean problem today. I think that would probably take more than the time that we've allotted. But I did come away with a question that I actually think transfers very well to procurement and supply chain. And it relates to multi-party negotiations. So in the majority of procurement-related negotiations, it is procurement facing a supplier, and that's not always the case. Sometimes there's an involved third party that we have to work through. Now, in the case of North Korea, the United States is going to have to negotiate or discuss with China as an intermediary because they are the ones in the position to place the greatest degree of influence or pressure or incentive on North Korea to get them to do the things that the United States ultimately wants them to do. So I'm going to let you kind of start us off here, and then we'll discuss. What advice would you give about needing to work through a third party to bring about a desired result?
Yes, Kelly, thank you. This is definitely a very good question, and of course the can be a challenging concept, whether in multi country negotiations or various topics, or in the supply chain as well. Now, from a personal point of view, I don't see a significant issue to have, intermediaries or, in this case, third parties to come in and be part of the negotiations, among multi-parties. As long as, the individuals participating, this whole process, they're fully aware of that or be ready to take, adequate modifications in cases where things get, complicated. Anytime you have obviously more representation in any conversation, any discussions, things get complicated. The parameters, the optimization parameters suddenly grows and it gets, sometimes challenging. So that's the key thing. The parties need to know that. Now, if I, give examples in the procurement world, the buying and selling, which one can relate to, other fields as well. It's very common to see multi-party, three-party, or even more than three-party negotiations. I participate in a good number of these around the world myself, and realized, that and made some adjustments, based on various dynamics. Now, in the sense of buying and selling, very often what I have seen, not as much an intermediary, just like the example in Korea, but I've seen cases where, either the buyer or seller was having, say, a joint venture with another company, or they had, for example, a consortium, with another company that suddenly increased the number of parties, in the negotiations. Cases where, for example, there is one buyer but two sellers because they have a consortium or joint venture, or vice versa. So that automatically changes, the number of parties into at a minimum three or more. So I've seen those. Now, simplistically, if the question is what one needs to do to optimize, you know, such cases, the simple answer to that is two things. One, to make absolutely sure, and this is not always possible in various circumstances, but to make absolutely sure that at least the the party that's coming into the negotiation have interactions before they come, you know, before they start the negotiations against the other side, just to get to know each other a little bit and to get a better idea, you know, of how things work and click, especially if this is an international, say, consortium joint venture, you know, things get even more complicated at that point. So I would strongly recommend at least one or two sessions before, you know, between these parties that are coming in before they sit with the third party. So that's very, very important. And the second most important thing, which is, I think, the most important thing, is to make a very detailed negotiation strategy mapping, early on before sitting down with the other side. And this way, not only, the parties will lay out, and determine all the key issues, you know, that are relevant to the both sides and both parties, but also for each specific issue, you know, they can lay out specifically, you know, the points that are, say, must-have, points that are neutral, and then concessions. You know, so it's very, very important that they kind of map this out before they go into the negotiations, and that way almost, you know, everyone will know the areas that that are sensitive, you know, for one side or the other, and that way they can make on-the-go adjustments, as the conversations and discussions progress. And of course, in cases where there is no progression, and I have done that myself several times, being ready to take breaks and slowing down the discussions and so forth in order to re-huddle again to discuss and readjust maybe some of these parameters. So simplistically, a detailed strategy session of the issues, and then all of those issues, literally one by one, determining the must-have, neutral items and concessions, needs to be mapped for at least the incoming multi-party against the other, so that, you know, they're ready as the conversations and negotiations progress.
Now, it's interesting you talk about this idea of mapping, because as you were talking about the example and specifically the consortium, it kind of brought a visual to mind, because I think, and let's just stay with the number three parties for the sake of keeping it simple. I think there's almost two different visual models that could represent the way that would go. And one follows that idea of the consortium, where all three parties sit down at the table, they all put on the table, this is what I want, and this is what I bring. So everybody is kind of coming together collectively, and there may be some conversation between two of the three, or some exchange between two of the three, but everyone is sitting there together. Versus the alternate model, which maybe follows kind of a supply chain parallel more closely, which is I negotiate with you, and then you go negotiate with them, so that all three players aren't actually at the table at the same time. How might each of those scenarios work out differently?
Oh, yes, they will work out absolutely differently, and especially the latter one, in my opinion, would be, of course, the more complicated one, because there is this now added dimension of the latter partner not being there in the conversation. So the first one is a little bit easier because, again, you have the entities all together, let's say three entities, and for that, and again, even that can have a combination where, three entities are negotiating with each other from their own position point of view. But you can also have one entity negotiating with the other two against the other two, where those two are actually working together as a, say, consortium. But in both configurations, what needs to happen is all three entities, again, need to lay out all of their positions, all of their critical parameters and so forth. And as long as they know those, as those parameters are negotiated, you know, they can easily look at those positions and determine where things are, whether it's a concessionary position or a neutral position and must-have positions, and make decisions at that point. Now, the tricky part is, of course, you know, a particular, let's say, position. Let's give an example, maybe liquidated damages, let's say. Liquidated damages type of a position, might be, whatever position that's requested, let's say, from the buyer in this case against the two sellers, it might be a neutral position, you know, for one party, but a concessionary for the other. And that's where, you know, of course, the complications come in. And to solve those, two things need to happen. One of them is, of course, communication before going into the negotiation, so that each party knows their boundaries, their limits, so that they can communicate and have a combined decision, so that they don't split the decision. That's one. And the other one, of course, is making sure that each party is, cognizant of their positions so that they don't overcommit the other party as the negotiations take place. I did have a case like that where, I don't remember if it was exactly liquidated damages, but it was a position where, you know, it was a concessionary position for myself, yet a neutral for my, for the party that I was negotiating with as the consortium, and where I had to take a break in the meeting and request my consortium partner to leave the meeting and have a discussion outside, reiterating that that was actually a concession for me, therefore I could not accept, literally in the meeting to be discussed and decided later on. So that's one case. The tricky one, Kelly, is the latter one. You know, that's one of the most trickiest one, because there, you know, you're negotiating with a party and you are, hoping that party to negotiate, obviously, your positions to the next party that you cannot, for whatever reason, communicate with. Generally, you know, one good example that comes to my mind is, you know, for example, a buyer negotiating with a seller a purchase, and that seller to and some of the conditions to flow down to their sub-suppliers, for example, right? The buyer does not see the sub-suppliers. They don't want to probably see the sub-suppliers to begin with, but they are, you know, asking the buyer, the seller, to negotiate certain terms with their sub-suppliers, such as warranty, for example, such as delivery LDs and things of that nature. So for that, I would recommend is, for the buyer in this case, and again in the procurement sense, for the buyer to be very clear as to what their position is against the seller for various terms, and just simply request the seller to do adequate negotiations with their sub-supplier to align everything up. As long as everything is aligned, everything flows down, you know, from the buyer's position to the sub-suppliers, there won't be anything kind of an out of order in that case. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't happen that way always for various reasons. Sometimes, you know, the initial seller does not have a strong position with their sub-suppliers. There's a good chance that the initial seller might not be as big, you know, from a financial point of view compared to their sub-suppliers. So they might not have the same leverage, that they would have, maybe as much as the buyer in this case. So, it doesn't always flow down as effectively, efficiently. And what's the solution to that is, for the buyer in this case, in this example, to be ready, you know, to kind of make adjustments as things go along, and or be ready to find a hybrid, positions where, it's a position that's not exactly what they want, but they can still live with to make sure that, the seller is at least in a decent position to have a attractive, commercial position.
Now, one of the other thoughts this brings to mind from your book, and I'll apologize because I don't remember the exact wording, but it was something along the lines of like a secret alliance that can come into play in a multi-party negotiation. So if you're in the consortium model and you're assuming that all three of us are coming to the table and we're acting in good faith, there is the possibility that two of the parties have coordinated in advance such that they are going to act one way at a table knowing that they've made another agreement off to the side. Mm-hmm. How is it that you would recommend, and I suppose any reasonable negotiator should probably assume it's at least a possibility if they're going into a situation, how do you suggest that someone try to observe for signs of that? And then how do you respond if you suspect that that's what's taking place?
Yeah, no, that's a very tricky case as well. And those kind of things probably would be more relevant as the initial example that you provided, in the case of, U.S., Korea, North Korea and China kind of an example. Yeah, no, I mean, the way to approach those kind of things is, again, be very cognizant and trying to catch, trying to sense or catch those kinds of positions. You know, as the conversations move along, it is rather, easy to locate those kind of things. I mean, as I give you this this example, you know, I do have at least one other example that came to my mind, that I went through, again, in the procurement world. I have been in negotiations where, I was in a position of a consortium partner for a much bigger, seller, towards the supplier. And yeah, naturally, we had a certain amount of, alliance going on between ourselves, being a consortium partner. But in this particular case, it was something around audits, the seller wanting to come and audit the, visit the factories of our consortium partner. This was not really a particularly key crucial item from my point of view, but I quickly realized, for example, that my consortium partner, it was certainly a very, very important one from seller's point of view. In other words, sellers was extremely adamant to wanting to visit their factories at any point in time without notice and so forth. It quickly became a critical topic, very, very important critical topic, potentially a walkaway position type of a topic. So for that particular case, what I've done is, I wouldn't call it an alliance, Kelly, exactly, but I had to come in and then almost like an intermediary a little bit, trying to understand why that seller, for example, was so adamant, about wanting to do this, wanting to visit my consortium partner's factories at any point in time without notice. And as I started asking these questions, even though I was not the party that was, being pressured or, to confess, as I started asking these questions, the seller started opening up a little bit as to why they wanted to do this, why they were so adamant about it. And clearly it came back to some bad experiences in the past and so forth. So when I realized that, I actually recommended solutions, trying to find a common ground between them, knowing that that deal would, break, I would be, impacted as well. So I actually recommended some intermediate positions to that both parties kind of listened, and especially, from a seller's point of view, it was a position that, they were comfortable with. So they ended up having that position, which was nothing more than recommending, a little bit of advance notice, for example, before visiting the factories and so forth. That's really what my consortium partner was rather sensitive about, not having advance notice. But when I recommended those kinds of things, it worked for the seller, it worked for my consortium partner, and it actually allowed them to get beyond this position that could easily be a walkaway position for them. So that's kind of works. I mean, it kind of, you have, every party has these responsibilities, especially in these cases, to kind of come in and smoothen, various areas, knowing that at the end it benefits both parties.
So as I said when we opened, we haven't exactly solved the North Korean issue, but I do think that we've given people a lot to think about. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for having me today. Thank you.
And thank you as well to everyone who has joined us for this BMP Radio podcast. Please feel free to share your comments and feedback on this conversation, as well as to share it with anyone from your network that you feel would benefit from the information. And please enjoy the rest of your day.